When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the January 24th pre-conference championship edition of the PFF Forecast. We've got a great show. Only two games. We're going to dig into it. Of course, we will do some SGP strategies. We still have an opportunity to send the whole team to Vegas one more week. No pressure, Judah. You just, you know, gotta figure it out. Yeah, we'll pick some locks of the week. Let's rock. False start. That was a pump fake at the top, kind of like Jordan from the free throw line, midair. All right, we have two games left, so we'll get to kind of dig into these a lot. We did just get the Harbaugh news. We're going to avoid that strategically here. Some really good ones. So we'll start with weather and injuries. I don't see any reason not to just dive right into it. Brad, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, let's dive in. So not really a weather concern. Some slight winds and rain in Baltimore. The other game in San Fran, which is great news for both quarterbacks in San Fran. The weather is clear. The small-handed QBs will be slinging it in San Francisco. So bless up for those fellas. The big injury news is obviously Deebo Samuel. He did not practice today. The only 49ers player not to practice. Obviously a massive, massive potential loss there for them. You saw how the offense looked against Green Bay without Deebo. And in the other game, Mark Andrews was a full practice participant. Found it interesting. He was actually full for, I want to say, Thursday and Friday last week, and then obviously did not play. Maybe they felt they could take a risk, keep him on the shelf for one more week, try to extend it. But I think he's gonna suit up for this one. And then Marlon Humphrey was limited, so we'll see there. But the messaging on both of those guys has been positive. I doubt they're skipping a divisional round game, but I just think that maybe they weren't 100% and wanted to see if they could get away with it. They obviously won in convincing fashion, but Patty Mahomes is coming to town. So that's a thing of the past.
No, and to be clear, we will not be seeing AJ Klein on a NFL field this week. Is that confirmed?
Per sources, AJ Klein will not be there on the field. Maybe in attendance, maybe get some tickets, but he will not be on the field.
I don't think he's going to get signed. So Andrews back is certainly, I think, big. It's kind of interesting. Like, Andrews back has always been a key cornerstone of that passing offense for Baltimore, but potentially no Deebo. If you were a betting man, which you are, Brad, what would you put the odds on Deebo playing at?
He is a guy that I think will suit up. It's just more a question, like we talked about on Sunday, of if he does play, is he coming in and out for certain series or maybe even certain packages? Is he kind of limping between every single play but just kind of toughing it out? So, I think you probably get him to suit up, but I would just really, really, really not look into his props or even really factor him into the game if you're thinking about it at a higher level, because I just don't think he's going to be 100% healthy or close to it.
Yeah, looking right now, so on FanDuel, you've got Ayuk at 80.5, Kittle at 62.5, McCaffrey, we talked about on Sunday, at 35.5. That was initially the only one that was posted. That opened at 33.5. It's now 35.5. Judah, as you think about this, and you've often taken advantage of these kinds of situations where, you know, it's tough to price when a player you don't have a lot of data on not being there isn't there. We do have a little bit of data on Deebo. When you think about Deebo and then also, I guess, secondarily Mark Andrews, how does that impact your angles?
Yeah, I think honestly it's a question of timing, which is when you're kind of listing off that market that's indicating what's being priced is Deebo Samuel not playing, which I don't think is necessarily signal to like what's actually going to happen. I think the books are basically just saying like that is the side of no risk. But if you are going to want to bet on a guy like Ayuk, a guy like McCaffrey, I think you're actually probably better off waiting just because if Deebo Samuel does play, I think those numbers come down. And if he's ruled out, I don't think it's going to go that much higher. So I think it's kind of a question of timing. And with Andrews, I'm not sure it makes a huge difference. I think it makes the offense, you know, marginally more efficient. I think that, sure, he's a guy who can soak up a lot of targets and be very good. But I don't think his impact as a whole is so enormous, just because like they can just distribute the targets elsewhere and still be fine. But I think it does make it, it doesn't change any of the ceiling plays, right? The fact that Mark Andrews is on the field, I don't think is going to change whether or not Odell Beckham catches a 40-yard pass or Zay Flowers does the same. I don't think the kind of tails remain that different. But I will say, I think the main thing there is waiting on San Francisco. At least that's what sticks out reading out those props.
Yeah, it does make sense. Like they would kind of lean towards the high side. It certainly looks that way with Ayuk. 80.5, I want to say, is the highest his prop has been all season. Like he's been pretty, you know, consistently in the 60s range. So 80.5 is taking a pretty big jump there. And what I think is interesting about that, and where I'm curious your guys' take is on this, right? So we know that the Detroit cornerbacks are abysmal, right? We took advantage of this last week to the tune of, you know, a 9-1 Mike Evans lock of the week, right? Does it worry you a little bit, like without Samuel there, they can focus all of their attention on Ayuk? You're not super worried about Juwan Jennings. It's kind of a different set of players that are probably concerned about George Kittle. Does that make any sense to you guys? Like, I almost would prefer to bet Ayuk's overs with Samuel playing at a depressed price than actually without Deebo Samuel, because like Ayuk's going to get open, you know, with Samuel there. They still have the opportunity to throw him the ball. We've seen him go over his prop multiple times with Samuel in the lineup. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys.
I think it does, honestly, because I also think there is a, you know, an outcome here where it's a lot of obvious passing situations because of how good the Lions run defense is. So if it's, you know, 2nd and 4 after a 6-yard McCaffrey carry, then maybe you're going to play off Ayuk a little bit more or not give him full attention because it's not a tell of whether it's run or pass. But if the Lions run defense steps up and puts them in a lot of 2nd and 9, 3rd and 9 type of situations, and it's very clearly a passing down, then I think they can key in more on Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I think that's right. And definitely what I was alluding to in trying to wait, which is that like I'd really prefer to bet on Ayuk with Samuel there. Mm-hmm. On the Lions point, though, like, I mean, the Bucs last week, who are there? If you're right, in the Lions perspective, right, you're saying, okay, you want to shut down Mike Evans. He's clearly the number one receiver. Like, Kate Otten's not going to worry. Like, he's nothing to worry about. I mean, if it's Kate Otten, Rashad White, maybe Chris Godwin, fine. I think San Francisco's the caliber of their secondary weapons is better than Tampa's was. And like Detroit could not stop them at all. I would really, really love, especially if Samuel plays a bunch of the IU alts as you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm certainly more bullish on the alts than just playing the over. And I think a lot so more so if Samuel does play. Okay, nice segue into the penultimate SGP build from Judah. Only 2 games, so I expect at least one from each. There's no time like the present. For anyone that is new to the podcast and does not know, we do this segment every single week. Judah also writes a couple of great columns you can find on pff.com on leveraging tails and finding these, you know, correlated angles that are data driven to play same game parlays, which are usually such a square play in the way that most people bet them. And you're just betting a smattering of anytime touchdowns. And there's no real rhyme or reason. This, in my opinion, is one of the more fun ways and also, you know, a mathematically compelling way to bet on football. So Judah, last year, a tremendous amount of success in the playoffs. I thought we were very, very close. The Bills one that we talked about last week through half was very, very interesting. We had basically the thesis being that the Bills were going to have success running the ball. It was going to be successful with Josh Allen and with James Cook, and that ultimately the Chiefs would win. And we threw at the end there a little Trent Sherfield in, and it turned out James Cook ended up getting stuffed. But that was very compelling. We had those at 1500 to one. And for a while there, I was looking at potential, you know, floors of the Wynn Hotel and Casino to rent out.
Yeah, a bunch of those angles, which I look, Ty Johnson coming in there and rushing for 50 yards, I think kind of came out of left field. Unfortunate, though. A couple, I also had a no sack parlay on both sides, which we got very close. Well, that those two legs hit, but in addition to some others, came very close to a printing press trip to Vegas. But that's okay. There's always this week. As devastating, I'm looking at it like January 24th. We got two same game parlays from or two games, three games worth of same game parlays, but two this week until September. It's honestly devastating. But I guess we have to make the most of what we have now. Of course, I'm going to have more than two same game parlays. I came prepared here. So I think as a good introduction to, I prefer betting on the Chiefs Ravens game just because I think it's an interesting case of, and we talk about this a lot this time of year, of what is the relevant sample size? Is it kind of what we've seen from the full team this year or certain tendencies that have kind of sprung up the last couple of weeks? And why I think that's particularly interesting for this game is that the market right now, looking at it, 44.5 point total, he's pricing in, I think, a lot of what's been happening over the course of a season. But I'd argue that the Ravens have improved on offense a bunch over the kind of more recent weeks. And for the Chiefs, where this works both ways, I actually am really buying their offensive output from the last three games in particular, which then works to kind of interacting with the Ravens pass defense, which has been terrific, to say, actually, I think there is a good reason that many more points will be scored. And obviously that 44.5 is reflected in the prop totals, which I think is an interesting introduction. I'll talk about the Chiefs for a second here. As just maybe it's interesting and also will be relevant in betting on our same game parlays. But the Chiefs offense, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years has almost been defined as like this was an incredibly explosive and dynamic team, and they effectively lost their ability to generate explosive plays. Last week, granted it was a smaller sample size only because they ran 46 plays, was their highest explosive pass play rate by almost 4% relative to the last 3 years. And then the wild card game was not far behind that, and the Week 17 game not far behind that. Which is to say, a lot of what's plagued Kansas City and their failure to generate explosive plays, I think is starting to be remedied a bit, which I am willing to buy because it's Patrick Mahomes. And to the sample size point I just made, I am much more willing to buy the sample of 2018 Chiefs through 2022 Chiefs and also the last three games, as opposed to saying, like, let's look at the totality of 2023 and say, oh, the Chiefs offense is X. I think it's a lot closer to, and there's reason to at least bet on the tails, that the Chiefs offense is resembling more of the unit we saw before 2023 than 2023 itself. Argument for the Chiefs, and certainly an argument for kind of the props we'll get into now, which is my favorite right now, is Patrick Mahomes' prop is sitting at 240, betting on his alts, and the Chiefs winning is, so if the Chiefs are going to win, I think it is going to be through Patrick Mahomes. Yes, the Ravens are easier to attack on the ground. Yes, Isaiah Pacheco has been great, but this is the Chiefs. They're going to throw way above expected. They know they're not going to win this game through relying on Isaiah Pacheco and trying to slow the game down. They have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to utilize him. The classic just Patrick Mahomes, all passing yards and spread playing on that inverse correlation is one I absolutely love this week. I'll start there. I'm curious the kind of thoughts there on the Chiefs generally, but that's certainly my favorite angle for this game. And we'll have some more after.
You know that this is going to be a good conversation, and I'm glad you paused for a second, because I've been thinking about the Chiefs a ton, and here is where I struggle with them. Is I feel like we talked about this a little bit on Sunday. Okay, let's think about the two playoff games they played. They played the Dolphins, a Dolphin from Miami with a quarterback from Hawaii, with their two weapons banged up, without a pass rusher anyone's ever heard of, in minus 10 degree weather. Okay, that is as good of a matchup as you can get. And then they go to Buffalo to play a team that is literally playing a guy off the street who, by the way, twists his ankle mid-game, trots back out there at a position in AJ Klein that is perfect for you to turn Travis Kelce back into his old self in that situation. And it feels like for the first time, I look at this matchup and I go, man, this is actually a really poor matchup in terms of the ability for the Baltimore Ravens to match up with Kelce. They have Kyle Hamilton. They have great linebackers. They have good coverage players, not anything incredible, but their defense as a whole has been really solid. And you think about how Rashee Rice has beaten people. You know, he's run a drag route 5 yards across the field so many times. I'm imagining Mike McDonald has a plan for that. And so you think about that and you go, man, the sample size, to your point, is super interesting. Do I count the two where I feel there has been a great matchup? Or do I count everything that I've seen in the past where they've looked like everything was a struggle? And, you know, and it's so easy to see that kind of happening again. So my initial take was that I actually felt everyone was having trouble giving the Ravens due credit because they've seen Mahomes and they have so much belief in Mahomes, where I think the contrarian play, and actually the right play, is Ravens, because they've just been such a better team. That was where I was leaning kind of heading into this conversation. Brad, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I'm with you 110%. I see it the same way. They are going to have answers. There's no question about it. I still, as much as McDonald has been remarkable in dialing things up, I think their pass rush strength is in numbers. It's in a platoon approach. And it's a lot of guys like Jadeveon Clowney is a straight line athlete. Isn't this bendy guy that I think is going to give a ton of problems, to a Juwan Taylor and a Donovan Smith? Like, long story short, I think Mahomes is still going to be able to get the ball out to avoid pressure enough. He'll be less kind of, confused by all the different looks he gets from Mike McDonald. But the counter to the quick outs over the middle with the safety and linebacker play they have, I agree with you. We were joking, like, you're not going to get another, MVS game because you already got your one allotment per year. But, like, they need to win outside. Maybe your boy Justin Watson steps up and has his two catches for 46 yards, outing that the boys need.
It's interesting. Before we get back to you, Judah, I do – so if that's – I always kind of play this game. Okay, what do I think is the likely outcome? And if it's the – what's the contrarian view on that? How do I bet the other side, right? Because I'm assuming there are a lot of people that think about that angle, and I'm sure there are. And I actually looked at, okay, what if I did think they were going to win on the outside? And what if it's not Rashee Rice? And I got to Justin Watson. In fact, on FanDuel, I don't know if they've opened this up, but I can't find any alts. Still don't see them up. Any alts on Justin Watson, which means they're scared. Okay. They're scared of Justin Watson and the breakout game that will appear. But Judah, like, I guess why, and maybe you alluded to this, I got at this a little bit, but like, how do you think about those two matchups and the fact that they were kind of perfect matchups for Kansas City?
Sure. I'm not disagreeing, but like that shouldn't, it's almost the conversation of when, I don't know, I'm thinking the Broncos started 3-0. A bunch of years ago playing like garbage opponents. And like the big debate was like, do we make anything of the fact that they've played, no one good? Mm-hmm. Like we shouldn't punish the Chiefs for the fact that they had bad opponents. And sure, like maybe it will turn out that like either because of variance or just like, we'll never know this with certainty, but say we did. Okay, those two games were matchup driven, but I'm also like, no one had that perspective before the games, right? It wasn't like an absolute slam dunk that Patrick Mahomes was going to dominate. I don't think thought that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs would have their best offensive output against the Bills last week.
We did talk a little bit about we had Kelce overs, right?
I'm not saying they were still underdogs in the game.
Yeah.
Right. Like let's not forget that if we had the, like, if we were saying that, oh, of course the Chiefs were going to dominate on offense, no way the Chiefs would be underdogs. No way. That's my reaction. And look, I think those are obviously fair points. And like, yes, I'm aware that Kyle Hamilton will be covering Travis Kelce, and that's different. I'm also aware that like the Chiefs for the last 6 years, obviously with a little bit of ups and downs, have been like the greatest offense in the history of the NFL. And I don't really care who's playing defense. If they're on their E game, which they're showing signs of getting back to, I don't care who the defense is. Mm-hmm. It's irrelevant. Yeah. It's precisely the source of value, which is the books are saying, and the market is saying, oh, Patrick Mahomes, 240 yards, right? I'm saying offense over defense. We know this, at least when we're buying tails. I'm not playing the medians. Of course, that's like, would it be shocking if the Ravens defense is great and the Chiefs play relative to their performance? No. Is there a real tail possibility? Absolutely.
Yeah. 240 is too low. Let's agree on that. Okay. Let's not derail the conversation. Next SGP that you like.
Yeah. I think the Ravens wide receiver is a fascinating case where the snap counts have been all over the place, throwing kind of everyone into a little bit like Odell Beckham barely played last week. Nelson Agholor got a ton of snaps. Rashad Bateman, who has graded out tremendously well by most separation metrics, got a bunch of run, and the alts there are kind of all over the place. I don't know who's playing, but there's enough room, especially add on to, you can play the separately or in addition to, if the Chiefs are going to have a bunch of offensive success. I think that kind of forces the Ravens to match with them score to score, and they're not going to just kind of be able to rely on this ground game, which I don't think is actually their kind of intended plan. That is to say, I think the Ravens are going to be passing a bunch, and Lamar's prop is 207 yards, another extremely low prop. And I'm betting on this game script, especially if the Chiefs are driving play. And I would want to take shots with all of these receivers, because if you're looking at, I'm just on DraftKings right now, which has surprisingly come out to actually have some of the best alts over the course of the season. We're seeing Rashad Bateman 70 at 13-1. I'm seeing Odell Beckham similarly, 60 is plus 900. Nelson Agholor 50 is 10-1. I think in a game script in which Lamar Jackson is passing, and I do absolutely believe that he can keep up with the Chiefs and score a bunch of points, to my point earlier about this total being too low, I think taking shots with Lamar and wide receivers makes a ton of sense, just playing that uncertainty. And you can even double up and say, if Lamar Jackson's throwing for 275 yards, in all likelihood, one and or two of these receivers are also going to pop off, and books have no idea, and the props are just so egregiously low.
Yeah, they're super low. I think everyone is reacting to how low the passing totals were last year, or last week for the Bills. What I want to point out there is that there were two like 70 yard play drops and a 40 yard passing play drop, which I think are really interesting, but it's a great point. Bateman and Odell right in the low 20s, Andrews at 36.5, say Flowers 46.5. And you mentioned Lamar. I should mention with Lamar just really quickly, we talked about his rushing prop on Sunday night. Brad, what did it open at? 54.5. It is 66.5. It was 64.5. Literally when I opened up the stream, that's probably going to get to like 70, maybe 72, by the time kick happens. So I hope that you grabbed it.
Yeah. We had 57.5 in the article, which is going to be a closing line value of like over 10 yards by a kickoff.
It's gonna be
unreal. Feeding so many families. I want to make one more point about this Ravens game and why I think it's particularly attractive, which is that it's very difficult to kind of put yourself in a mode of something that hasn't yet happened, because the Ravens haven't played in a game script where like they're trailing, let's say, by like 3-7 for most of the game and needing to rely on the pass in a high scoring environment. Like, that sample does not exist. There is no game in which Lamar Jackson with Todd Monken at offensive coordinator, that hasn't happened. And trying to kind of project, okay, assuming that game state does arrive, and if you're in the minds of someone who is pricing this game, right, what are they going to use? They're going to use the kind of global data. But let's try and say, given what we know about Lamar Jackson, given what we know about Todd Monken, and given what we know about this possible game state, what are the possible events? And I think that in a particular game state, and that's what we can do with the same game parlay, is tell a particular story, which is, say that game does play out, what happens? And I think there's just a ton of opportunity because there are a lot of kind of inputs that are mispriced. Kind of an abstract point, but I do think kind of building through, and you can kind of vary the ways you attack the spread part of this, but I think building through Lamar Jackson, the pass and those receivers, just by virtue of kind of that frame of mind, I think is very, very valuable this week.
Yeah, it's definitely contrarian, right? Even seeing in the chat, like, you know, it's intuitive to think about this, I think, the way that I articulated it and the way Brad has as well, but you're not going to find a lot of outsized value, right? If you think that way, if everyone thinks that way. So you have to put yourself in a bit of an uncomfortable position and think about what the surprising thing would be, because there's a quote that I'm going to mess up, but it's something to the effect of, like, you know, find the thing that is least likely to happen, and that's what will happen, you know, every time. That said, I'm sure now the Ravens are going to win 10-7. All right. Let's talk a little Lions and Niners. Your favorite angles there.
Yeah, I'm going to run back the James Cook play from last week. I think with Jahmyr Gibbs rushing and the Niners offense, first off, like the Niners can absolutely front run and do so in such a way that they score a bunch of points very quickly. So if we have a kind of close game in end of the second quarter, third quarter, let's say it's a neutral state there, the Niners can still cover a huge spread, even with most of that game being played in a neutral setting, which is to say that I think the Lions are not going to, first of all, I have no idea how this game's going to play out. I think there are a lot of different ways, but I do see a kind of large mass of game outcomes where the Lions rely decently heavily on the run just because of how vulnerable San Francisco is to it. Yes, a lot of their yardage outputs, they broke their 51 game streak of not allowing in 100 yard rusher. That a lot has to do with the fact that the Ravens are very often playing from ahead. And what I really like about this angle is you're going to need an explosive rush very likely for this to happen, because if a running back's going, Jahmyr Gibbs is probably not getting 17 carries in a game in which the Niners are going to win. But if he gets 12 of those carries and has one huge explosive rush, and like that makes the game, you know, 10 goes from 10-3 to on a touchdown drive, 10-10, and then the rest of the game plays out however it does. There are many, many ways for Gibbs to kind of break off a long run, and that basically be game state agnostic, though the books are obviously pricing those as extremely inversely correlated. That's my favorite one from the Lions side. We alluded to Ayuk. I would really, really love for Deebo Samuel to be ruled in. I'm not even sure if he does play, I don't think it matters. Like, I think this is a Ayuk game. This is a Lions team which has played a ton of man coverage in recent weeks. They obviously have absolutely no one to cover Brandon Ayuk on the outside. Ayuk has a much higher target share in man versus zone. It's kind of all of those classic angles we've been talking about for 2 years now. I think like perfectly merging in the spot. The Lions are a pass funnel. I absolutely love building around Ayuk as well.
We mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs on Sunday night, and I thought this was interesting. One of the things I always like to look at, because again, you have to remember, and you do a good job about talking about this, Judah, but I think it's helpful for certainly our listeners to think about this, right? So the Lions are being priced not in a vacuum, right? So, you know, in order for a trader to set the line, right, they're looking at all the lines and kind of thinking about this, right? And that was really interesting, was that when these opened up, David Montgomery was at, I think, 52 or 53 and a half. And Jahmyr Gibbs was at, I think, 43 or 44 and a half. David Montgomery now is at 44 and a half. He was still used more last week. He got more carries. He had a higher usage score, higher PFF usage score than Gibbs did last week. I think it is really interesting. And your point about needing the explosive rush on an alt makes a ton of sense. But I actually think there could be value as well in just taking overs on both those guys and taking the alts on the Niners, where like 44 and a half to me is not an insane number. And to your point about Jahmyr Gibbs getting maybe an explosive run, but maybe it's a 15 yarder instead of a 30 yarder. But I feel like that correlation still super inverse, right? How could you have two running backs going over their rushing prop and you know, the other team winning by 14 points? Like that to me is really interesting. And I like that angle a lot.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and say, well, first, so yeah, definitely love Gibbs. I think maybe, I don't know if the market is this, you know, sophisticated. This is things we keep talking about. We've been feeding families on the whole, you know, a point of attack with the run game. The Niners, their issue is outside the tackles. And Gibbs actually has 15 more carries this year outside the tackles than Montgomery. So that's when he gets fed, when the plays are designed in that manner. And Montgomery is the between the tackle guy, where the Niners have been pretty good. So, you know, maybe that's part of the pricing there. I just want to jump in more so. So everyone keeps talking about how the Chiefs, you know, kind of got lucky with the Bills and all the injuries there, and the Dolphins with all the injuries, and Tua Pumkavailoa coming into a frozen tundra in Kansas City. We need to take a step back. I actually listened to last year's pod that was this Wednesday. It was before conference championship game, because I thought I said this, that my biggest takeaway in the playoffs at that point was, we fall in love with teams that make the playoffs, that get hot at the right time, or, you know, whatever. The Los Angeles Rams and Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a regular season win total of 6.5 that was plus money to the over for both of them. And the Lions beat one of them by a point or 2 points, whatever it was, and beat the Bucks by one score, 8 points, whatever. I'm not taking away from their wins. They've played well in the games. If I was going SGPs or alts, I would add a Niners gigantic spread. I think that is the tail outcome that I'm most in love with, where over two touchdown as an alt spread, just because I think that is an outcome that is like wouldn't really shock me.
I think that is a really good point. I'm excited to talk about this game a little bit. There's a couple of lock potential here, but I would, as I said on Sunday, I was very vocal about how poorly Purdy played. I am in no way, shape, or form overreacting to that for this game. It is going to be dry. They cannot cover this trio of receivers on the screen right now. Again, let me be very clear. Their cornerbacks, one of them is named Kindle, okay? Named after Jeff Bezos's like 15th favorite product. He has a coverage grade of 100 that ranks 110th out of 128 corners, 49.1. Cameron Sutton has a coverage grade of 105 or ranked 105th out of 128. And you saw some of his finest work against Mike Evans last week. So just to be extremely clear there. Any other angles SGP wise before we move on, Judah?
Maybe one more I like, which would be taking Jared Goff passing overs along with another receiver, whether it's Jameson Williams, Josh Reynolds, and also taking Sam Laporta alt unders. Not only because Sam Laporta's on like half a leg, but also like this Niners team absolutely dominates over the middle of the field. This has been true for years. I think that's an interesting inverse correlation spot. Doesn't have to be connected to any kind of game state outcome, but I think that alone is worth the shot.
We have to
jump in again. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna, we have to sneak a little Goff in there.
Got to sneak some Goff in there. Laporta is a good shout. I was going to get there. Yeah, I mean, the Niners against inline tight ends specifically, too, are just they're in their own class in the NFL this season.
Yeah, it is a very good point. And Laporta is wearing a knee brace the size of Detroit, Michigan in these games. Okay, we're going to get to locks of the week. Before we do, quick reminder, you can get PFF Plus subscription for 30% off with promo code 30MDS. That also unlocks the entirety of the Mock Draft Simulator, all of our premium content, and all of our tooling as well, fantasy betting, and otherwise, including free agency, which is coming up. Obviously, Brad on this podcast does a better job of that than anyone on the planet, and you can unlock his contract projections in our our free agency rankings tool for 30% off with 30MDS. So go to pff.com or the PFF app and make that happen. Also, our friends over at Fabric and Western Southern are making sure that you have nothing else to worry about besides the bets that you're placing. 2024 has just begun, which means you want to make sure that you don't do anything stupid this year that puts your family in jeopardy. And that means getting yourself and your family protected with quality term life insurance. They make it really, really easy. You don't have to do some weird, like bespoke, you know, filling out of a billion forms. You can do this all online at Fabric, and you can go to MEET Fabric, FABRIC.com/forecast to get started. It takes you less than 10 minutes. You can get a quality, affordable term life insurance policy in the blink of an eye. Go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes. Again, that's MEET Fabric, FABRIC.com/forecast. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Insurance Company, not available in certain states. Price is subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, it is lock of the week time. I don't know how many units, it was like something like 16 units we were up last week, thanks to all of the alts. So a fantastic job by this group. But remember, you are only as good as your most recent performance. And so we're back at it. Brad, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so we talked about a bunch of these. I don't want to do too many retreads, but I just dove into the Christian McCaffrey thing more and more. I do think it would be lovely to get to get Deebo Samuel in the game to maybe keep these numbers down. This one has moved the least of the three, though. You talked about Gibbs. We talked about Lamar. We didn't even mention it on the pod when talking about just how McCaffrey produces when they don't have Deebo Samuel and the matchup. The Lions against targets to players lined up in the backfield are bottom five in the NFL in EPA per dropback and success rate. And when he goes in the slot, we've talked about how bad the Lions are in the slot the entire year. It's just, I love the alt receiving for Christian McCaffrey. We talk a lot too about, you know, maybe to break off an explosive, like Judy was just talking about. He forces missed tackles at an insanely high rate. They do have some good DBs, but they do miss tackles in open space. And I couldn't love the McCaffrey receiving prop. What do we say? 50 plus was like plus 200 or something like that. I would even push it, you know, 60 plus, 70 plus.
We talked about this. It's gone up a couple of yards, but nothing crazy. Yeah, I mean, it is. He is the number one graded receiving running back in the NFL, and he is facing a Lions team, as you called out, that is not particularly great. So love that. No reason not to re up on anything that we discussed that we still feel has value. Judy, you're next.
Yeah, I do prefer, as we talked about, waiting to bet on the Brandon Ayuk receiving yards prop, but looking at his receptions, which I'm seeing at over 5.5 at plus 130, is one I think is worth locking in now. A lot of the reasons just for Ayuk, regardless of Deebo Samuel playing or not, of just obviously massive matchup advantage, as we talked about. The fact that the Lions play a bunch of man coverage, Brandon Ayuk has a much bigger target share than anyone else when facing man coverage. And of course, this also locks in the possibility of Deebo Samuel not playing, in which case I think this line in particular, the over 5.5, does move a bunch. I'm kind of shocked that it does not a projection of like 5.1 receptions does not exactly correspond to 80 plus yards. I think that kind of translation has gotten lost a bit. I, at this price, absolutely love Ayuk over 5.5 at plus 130.
I am with you guys both there. Okay. I was going to talk about our guy CMC, but so I will second you, Brad, there. But here's another Lions defense component. You talked about the fact they like to play man coverage. Little known fact about Brock Purdy. Can you guess which little known fact I'm going to drop on the people here?
Cooks against man coverage?
Well, he does, but he also – Lamar Jackson, some think he's in a league of his own. Turns out, same 10-yard split. Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, both elite athletes. This is actually true, whatever. The point is that his rushing prop at 7.5 yards. Now, you're obviously in a place where you could get really screwed by kneel downs. I think that's one of the reasons it's a little depressed. The fact that they're going to have to, you know, put so much attention on the receiving players, they're going to play a little bit of man coverage here, opens it up for Brock Purdy to have a little scamper. The Lions have played Justin Fields a couple of times. He rushed for 60 and 109 against them. Lamar rushed 9 times, had 36 yards. Patrick Mahomes had 45 yards against them. Jordan Love, 44. Herbert, 15. Geno Smith, 27. Jordan Love and Jimmy G had 12. So they have given up some of these longer rushing performances. A guy like Brock Purdy in a redemption game is one that I like, especially if they, you know, have him drop back a few more times than normal because of the poor Lions passing game. Brock Purdy over 7.5.
Yep, I like that. I mean, the 10-yard split is undeniable, so I don't know how you could argue with that. It is what it is. Facts are facts. So we talked about this earlier, or Judah mentioned it, how good the Niners are against tight ends. Look, we took Laporta alt overs last week. We like the matchup there a lot. It's not a Faye Laporta play per se, but it was he had 9 catches to get to 60 yards. Like, it wasn't like he was explosive in that game. And the Niners are as good covering tight ends as any team in the NFL. I just mentioned earlier, their EPA per dropback allowed on targets to inline players is more than double the next best team. You look at it just by the tight end position, they're top 5 in pretty much every single metric we have here. So I'm not going alt, but the under 48.5 for Sam Laporta, I think, is a nice play.
I like it. I'm going to go. I feel like we haven't done this in a long time. Standard total. That's how I kind of started framing this entire conversation. And that's the over 44.5 in the Baltimore Kansas City game. I just think this is a lot of pricing of the totality of 2023. And I don't think these two teams are the same teams as they were in week 8. It is just they are fundamentally different. And that is what is being most clearly priced here, especially if the Chiefs are somewhat closer to, even if it's not fully to the extent that which I outlined earlier, even if they're just an improved offense, that is enough, I think, to counteract the Ravens pricing of a very good defense. And even not, like, the Ravens are going to score in this game. I just think this total is like 2 points too low.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Okay. My next one, I mentioned him earlier, Justin Watson, over 16 and a half receiving yards. He had that one play that would have gotten him over it last week. Now, he did get a little less run. MBS had four targets, had 56% route run percentage. Justin Watson, just 44. That said, the zigzag theory of gambling, a well-known theory by many listening to this podcast, MBS is not repeating. There's no way he's repeating this. I like your kind of thought around, you know, the passing game. Someone's going to have to win on the outside. Justin Watson shows up really nicely in our separation metrics. I expect him to be one of those that is able to separate. So I think he gets some targets and he holds on to this one. I actually would love some alts if I could find them. And if I do, I will play them, but I'll start with over 16 and a half receiving yards.
I'm going back to our guy, the Brock Lobster. I think there's a nice buy low opportunity here. If Kyle Shanahan and the Niners appreciate the fact that the Lions run defense is extremely stout, and I actually think there's a way in which I like this without Deebo Samuel, insofar as, of course, he scores as a receiver. He can break off, you know, incredible yards after the catch opportunities, but over 2.5 touchdowns for Brock Purdy is plus 158 is what I'm seeing it at right now. Hasn't done it in about a month, but we know the guy can pop off for four passing touchdowns whenever. You mentioned the good conditions. You still have, obviously, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, all the guys in the fold there, and maybe there is more of an impetus to throw the ball downfield in addition to just throwing it at all because of the matchup with the opposing defense. I mean, look, Baker Mayfield could have gone for 400 in that game. He frankly, like, there were a couple drops. He probably should have had 400 in that game. And Matthew Stafford averaged 10.8 yards per attempt. So Yeah, I think now's the time to buy on the Brock Lobster over 2.5.
I dig it.
I like that. I think this is a very creative market here, which is looking at the player with the longest rush. And that is in the San Francisco-Detroit game. So I'm going to take Jahmyr Gibbs plus 330. I believe it is. Yeah, plus 330 to have the longest rush. We talked about the Lions run defense being particularly stout. Of course, Christian McCaffrey should be a favorite here. He's currently minus 500. But I think that is ignoring the possibility of a Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, like, talk about a random market. I mean, I don't think this is, looking at it now, it almost seems like it's priced as a derivative of rush yards. Which I don't think has, I mean, it's like semi-correlated, but does not, I think, capture most of the variance here. And that's just like, bet on an extremely explosive player against a non-particularly great rush defense, as opposed to, like, sure, Christian McCaffrey's great and, like, can break off a long run. And would it surprise anyone? No. But I don't think he should be minus 500, especially looking at the difference between Gibbs and Montgomery. I mean, Montgomery had that great 75-yard touchdown run against the Chargers. But I don't think is your typical idea of an explosive runner. He's more that between the tackles, grind him out sort of guy. And Gibbs is going to get plenty of run. It's not particularly great San Francisco rush defense. Plus 330 seems like great value to me.
I would say quick, too, you're getting a market that if you had told me to rank who I think is most likely to do it, I would probably say CMC, Gibbs, and Deebo Samuel as the third most likely player to have the longest rush in the game. If he does play, they're probably not going to give him any carries. So anyway, I like that a lot.
Yeah, interesting. He's 15-1.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Big fan of that. Okay, my next one is Ravens Chiefs game. So I think one of the thoughts here, right, is that the Chiefs were pretty soft against the run against the Bills, and you know, you'd expect obviously Lamar to have a lot of opportunities, but the running back that I expect to get and have the most success is actually Justice Hill here. He was used more, had a higher snap count, higher number of carries, higher number of rush yards last week against the Texans. His rushing prop is at 33.5 compared to the Gus Bus at 41.5. I think that's a mispricing. I think, you know, Gus is their favorite guy, you know, close to the goal line, but Justice Hill going to get the work around the edges. And yeah, I mean, this is clearly a place that you want to be able to potentially try to beat the Chiefs. It'll be interesting whether the Chiefs say what they did in the second half to the Bills, which is we'll just stop the run. You know, we'll do everything we can to stop the run and make you throw, and whether they do that. But if they don't and they come out with a kind of, you know, even keeled attack, I like Justice Hill a lot. I mean, it's 66 rushing yards against the Texans. His totals at 33.5. I think that's mispriced.
I like that shot a lot. This is one that we joked about on the pod Sunday, but I actually genuinely think it's a good bet. Our guy, Mecole Hardman, his line is 12.5 at BetMGM. You get the under 12.5 receiving yards. Say it again.
They had the balls to put one up.
You probably didn't see it because it's not at DK or FanDuel. It's at Caesars and BetMGM. You can get the under 12.5 is -120 for receiving yards. Or you could go with the combo of rushing and receiving. It's only 13.5. And unironically, I might like it more because if he does get a carry, which, I mean, like, come on. You know the carry is going to be a jet sweep behind line of scrimmage, and maybe he loses 5 yards on that.
Yeah.
So that if he has a miracle 17-yard catch, you actually still cash the rushing and receiving.
This is the lock of the week. Absolute lock of the week.
There's one problem, I think. There's a non-zero chance the bet's void because he's inactive.
That's so fair. Yeah. I mean, although I feel like they're going with him over Kadarius just because of receiving and like that, or returning, I mean. Definitely not receiving. That's not getting him on any opening day lineup. Great.
How can we forget?
Yeah, he likes to catch it at the 4-yard line. It's also one of his marquee abilities. Anyway, I knew George was going to love that one, so I'll throw that out there.
Beautiful. I love it.
I'm out of locks.
Yeah, I actually am too, fellas. Brad, you got any more?
Nope, cashed out.
All right, here's what we've got. I don't know. Do you guys see a better number on CMC? This is just what I see at FanDuel. 60+ is 3-1. I'll let you guys look for anything else that's more tasty there. Ayuk over 5.5 receptions +130. Yacht Brock Purdy over 7.5 rushing yards -110. Sam Laporta under 48.5 receiving yards -115. Baltimore KC over 44.5 total points. Justin Watson over 16.5 receiving yards. Again, the great Brock Purdy over 2.5 passing touchdowns +158. Jahmyr Gibbs longest rush +330. Justice Hill over 33.5 rushing yards. And Mecole Hardman, I think we go rushing and receiving combined under 13.5 at BetMGM. I don't understand how we don't. That I will start it off, is my favorite one.
of the year?
Absolute favorite. But yeah, my all-time ranking in locks of the weeks are Mike Evans followed by TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, TJ Hockenson, of course. Who could forget?
So great, because that one we played the same way we played the Evans one, right? Where we were so confident, we played the alts. I remember I had him to lead the game in receiving yards. It was just a beautiful thing. Anyways, what else do you guys
Judah, like? Yeah, Judah's the Ayuk receptions, because the yards number's gone too high. I don't even know how. I know he maybe isn't a high volume guy, but 5.5 at +130 doesn't even seem real to me. So juicy.
That's I like that one also. And I think the Laporta under 48.5, considering the opponent and the fact that the guys can barely move. I mean, admirable of him to be out there, but I don't think he's the same effective player. I think that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Some others that I think are really interesting. I do like the Justice Hill over 33.5. I like the Gibbs longest rush as well at +330. Your point, Brad, about where the Niners have been, more forgiving in the rushing game, I think is right. And I don't, especially if they're losing, it's not that I think they give up on the run, but I do think Gibbs gets more run in that situation as well. So more opportunities there. And you know, you've got the CMC on the other side where he might be needed more in the pass game. So I like those two.
Love the Gibbs one for sure. It's a different, I think it's a different way to play, you know, instead of taking an alt receiving yards because we lost value, or our rushing, whatever we talked about, just play it that way.
Yeah. I do like, we talked about it on Sunday night. I really do like Christian McCaffrey. Do we think 3-1 on 60 plus is the best play?
I would just FanDuel 3-1. Yeah.
We're going to wait. Okay. We're going to wait on it, but I think we include it. Okay. So what I have so far, I have Ayuk, over, Laporta under, Gibbs longest rush, Mecole under 13.5. Those are the four.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Any others?
Okay, real quick. I want to end it with this real quick. Real quick. Super Bowl MVP. I feel like if we're going to bet it, maybe bet it now. Have you guys looked at the market at all?
No.
I assume there would just be like crazy hold here. Let's say.
So I'll run through the top like 10 here. So heavy favorites, Lamar, Purdy, Mahomes. No surprise there. McCaffrey 5-1. You got Goff out at 11-1. And then, okay, Ayuk 40-1, Debo 60, Kelsey 60, Amon-Ra 75, Kittle 75, Pacheco 75, and Mark Andrews 75. And then it's all 100-1. Pacheco 75-1, if you want to bet the Chiefs, I think is interesting. That's all I'll say.
If Debo is healthy and plays in the Super Bowl, what are his actual odds?
Way better than 60-1.
I love Debo at 60-1.
It's not a bad shout. It's not a bad shout.
I mean, if you're taking a long shot. If he doesn't play, he doesn't play.
Right, all right.
I think the Niners are a prohibitive favorite. Who knows whether the Chiefs or the Ravens come out of that game. And against either the Chiefs or the Ravens, I think you're going to – the Niners are going to need to leverage Debo there. Like, I could see them sitting him out in this game simply for that reason.
For sure, yeah, especially the Chiefs.
I like it. I like it. All right. That was it. We'll be back on Sunday night to break down and look ahead to the Super Bowl. We got two long weeks. But yeah, have some fun out there. And CMC, we need you, baby. Peace.